Hebrews 2:9, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Down to verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. As human beings, we share many common experiences. We all think, we feel, we all have to eat and drink to live. We suffer pain, we love, we experience joy and sadness and hope. And we're mortal. We all have a finite, a limited existence in our bodies, flesh and blood, here on the earth. Hebrews 2:15, those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Hebrews 2:15 tells us that death casts its shadow over our existence. All of our lives, we humans, because we are human, share a fear of death. The marker on the grave of Frank Bowles in Boot Hill Cemetery in Tombstone, Arizona, sums it up. As you pass by, remember that as you are, so once was I, and as I am, you soon will be. This fear of death. You see it in our attempts to stave off aging with fitness and nutrition fanaticism. Our attempts to have this resistance to letting our hair go gray, or the explosion of plastic surgery. You see it as we submerge ourselves in pleasures, as we drown out our silence with perpetual sound, so that we don't have to be alone with our thoughts to reflect on sober, frightening realities. You see it as we seek out 1,000 distractions to keep us from our fears and anxieties. Why? Why are we so afraid of death? Death is the end of life. No more sunrises. No more coffee in the morning, no more laughter with good friends, no more good music, no more good books, no more walks in the forest, no more children playing, no more art and beauty and kisses from my lover. But some would say you should just face the inevitable with resignation or even courage. But it's not that simple. For this question haunts every one of us. What if death is not the end, but just the beginning? What if death is not the end? What if death is not just a brick wall that I hit, but rather it is a door into? What if the end of time is the beginning of eternity? What if there is a God and everything he has said is true? What if the justice we experience that feels right in this life is just an echo of the voice of a greater justice of God? And what if I have to answer to that God for everything I've done in this life? The fear of death is linked to a greater fear of eternity, of facing God, the judge of all the earth. And that is why we humans fear death. And this fear is not something we can readily rid ourselves of. Those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. It's not just experienced by old people. It's not just experienced by people with cancer. But this fear is a lifelong enslaving phenomenon. But the devil, how does he figure into it? It says that the devil is the one who has the power of death. How so? Well, the devil is the sworn enemy of God, his raison d'etre, his purpose of existence, a vengeance that fuels his every action, his hatred of God. He opposes God. He seeks to destroy, deface, harm God, his purposes, God's name, God's glory, and anything that remotely resembles God, like man, who is made in the image of God. And when God told the first man and woman not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he warned them, "In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." God had created life. God had created only life in all the world. There was no death in the good world that God had created. But the devil came lying to Adam and Eve. This forbidden fruit is good. It is delightful. It will make you wise. No way will you die. In fact, it will make you more like God. So the devil tempted and deceived. And the man and woman ate. But God was right. They died. From that moment forward, death was at work. They began a slow slide of decay and aging that would end in physical death, but even worse, they would have to pay the consequence of their disobedience to God, and their physical deaths would be inevitably linked to eternal death. So Satan instigates rebellion. He tempts and lies, and man chooses to open the floodgates. And in comes sin, closely followed by death, into this perfect world which had been filled with joy and righteousness and life. It was man. Romans 12:1. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. It was man. But it was the devil who, through man's sin, slipped death into the realm of human existence. Jesus calls the devil a murderer from the beginning, John 8:44. So Satan, the ruler of this world, has brought death into this world, and with and only with God's permission, he has exercised sway over this world, the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. The devil wields death, the king of terrors, like a club, the ultimate weapon to intimidate and terrorize all of mankind. And so death is a tool of terror in the hands of the devil. But also, we see that death becomes a tool of destruction and deliverance in the hands of Jesus. Death becomes a tool of destruction and deliverance in the hands of Jesus. Why did the Son of God become human, or in the words of this text, take flesh and blood? Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. Why did Jesus become human? Well, for one reason. To die. divinity could not die. God could not die. The Son of God could not die. But flesh and blood could die. And it was for this purpose that Jesus became human and took humanity to himself, becoming man. And not merely to die a physical death on the cross, but much more, to take our eternal death, the punishment for our sins, our hell for us on that cross. He became human to take our human punishment, to substitute for us a man for men, that through death he might destroy. So death is the tool, through death, the weapon, the instrument, the means by which Jesus Christ destroys the devil and delivers those who were enslaved by fear of death. So Jesus' death was not an unfortunate ending to a life with great potential. This death was completely intentional and purposeful. Death was not the devil's defeat of Jesus, but it was Jesus' weapon to defeat the devil. Through it, he accomplishes destruction, that through death he might destroy. That through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. Here the word destroy does not mean eliminate or exterminate, that the devil is not eliminated, but rather it means to render inoperative, to nullify, to deprive of power. The devil has the power of death. So when Jesus dies, doesn't the devil win? Well, you would think so, but that is so upside down from reality. Jesus dies and defeats the devil with his own weapon. Jesus grabs the devil's own sword and stabs him with it. By Jesus dying, he renders the devil's power ineffective. The devil's power with his great ultimate death weapon, he renders it inoperative, impotent, ineffective, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is, the devil. So through death he accomplishes destruction, and through death he also accomplishes deliverance, that through death he might deliver. Jesus, the pure, the innocent, the sinless one, dies. The spotless Lamb of God is offered as a sacrifice. And yet, Ezekiel 18:20, it is only the soul that sins that shall die. And so death has no claim on a non-sinner who dies. Death could not hold him in its grip. And the effects of his death are not confined to himself alone, for he died as our substitute. We already read that, chapter 2, verse 9. By the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. He dies not just for himself, but for others as well. And by dying, Jesus undoes our sentence of death. God said in the beginning, in the day you eat, you shall surely die. But when Jesus dies for us, he undoes that sentence of death. By dying, Jesus delivers us from the finality, the penalty, the foreverness, the hopelessness of death. Jesus holds the keys of death and hell. In the third place, death is abolished by the resurrection of Jesus. Here we'll go back to 1 Corinthians 15 that Jim read for us before. Death abolished by the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 21, for as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. For as by a man came death, death came by a man, Adam, who ignored and disbelieved God, who chose to sin against God. And upon his sin, so death passed upon all men. You see, death occurs not just because the body wears out, passing its expiration date like a carton of milk. But death has its power over humans through sin, because sin against God requires capital punishment as its moral penalty. That is why humans die, because of sin. For as by a man came death, but another man has come as well, Christ, who took on flesh and blood, who lived a life without any sin at all, and then voluntarily chose to die so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death. For as by a man, Adam, came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. When the sinless one, Jesus, died in the place of the sinners, you and I, God accepted his payment for our sins so that we might go free and never be punished for our sins. Jesus not only died a physical death on the cross, but he suffered eternal death, hell, the full price for the punishment of our sins. That is why before the cross, he cried with loud crying and tears in the garden, praying that this cup might pass from him. Mere death did not frighten him, but the prospect of undergoing our hell, the wrath of God for our sins, that did. And so Jesus absorbed the wrath of God for our sins, so that our sins may be forgiven, because Jesus has fully paid the penalty for our sins. Our sins are gone because of Jesus. And Jesus' resurrection demonstrates that he had no sin and death could not hold him. Jesus' resurrection demonstrates that our sin is fully paid for, that God accepted his sacrifice for us because he raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus' resurrection demonstrates that the power of death is broken, that sin and death no longer reign, inflicting fear and terror on all humans. Jesus' resurrection has massive implications for humanity. As we read, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then, at a later time, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ, then they will experience the resurrection. So this doesn't mean that we won't die, but it means that after death, we shall all be made alive, those who belong to Jesus. When? Each in his own order, at the prescribed time. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Jesus. First, Christ is raised from the dead, because death could not hold the sinless one who dies for the sins of his people. And then at his coming, not now, but when Jesus returns, we shall experience resurrection. Verse 26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. When the day of resurrection comes, we will be raised just because Christ was raised. And it is at that point, verse 54, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because who would have thought that by dying, Christ would have achieved his greatest victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. The end of death. From that point on, no one else will die after the day of resurrection and judgment. Death will be a historical curiosity, not an ongoing reality. And those whom death held in its grip will be released, some to eternal life and immortality, and some to eternal death and destruction. In other words, Jesus' death abolishes death. It is swallowed up. It is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. And Paul responds to that by quoting from Hosea, verse 55. He taunts death. Oh, death! Where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? He moves from fear of death to sneer at death. It's a celebration. And in Christ, it has all been accomplished. Now, you and I wait in confidence. I'm still in flesh and blood, so I will die. But it is death without a sting, because my sins are gone in Jesus. And if my sins are gone, the law has nothing to say to me. You have broken the law, you must be punished. Nothing to say, because the sin is gone. Not guilty. So death? What does it mean? A door to what? A door to victory. A door to life eternal. A door to joy. A door to reunion. A door to Jesus and the Father forever mine. So how shall I think of death? In Christ, death is not quicksand from which there is no escape, sinking into eternal hell. But death is a trampoline, bouncing you into heaven and the presence of your Father. Death cannot hold you. In Jesus, you are like a greased pig in the arms of death. If death is abolished, why do we continue to die? Because it's like a bill passed by Congress and signed into law that has an effective date. In January, the bill becomes the law of the land. But on July 1st, the taxes go up, or texting will be illegal in cars, or the drinking age is lowered to 12. It's now law. It is certain. It just doesn't take force until July 1st. And so death has been abolished by the resurrection of Jesus. It is certain. It's the law of the land. It's just there's a future effective date. But it's real. It's certain. It's unchangeable. And it is the resurrection of Jesus that marks the triumph. Death is abolished. Darkness gives way to the dawning of an entirely new day. Death is replaced by life, life forever, as Jesus rises from the dead. And we rise in him. He is raised for us. His resurrection secures our resurrection. His life assures us of our new life. He ends sin's reign over us as sin and its consequences, death, are defeated by Jesus for us. Thanks be to God. He is risen.